I think it's keeping track. I line up.
You know what
it
means. Wiggle. Wiggle.
Wiggle.
Nobody really wiggle. Nobody really wiggle.
Nobody really want fuego. Masayo will bring fire down worse than Waco. Buy you some coffee, your Lego, your Eggos, your sandwich with mayo and two slices of meso. Sitting at home on the couch playing Halo, but the Masayo ain't playing no Wiggles. Games, women and pants gonna get it. Flames, brothers keeping no commandments. Same, calling our armies a favor. Event with your NATO and soldiers with Dracos. Just tell me, how can you stop a tornado or better yet the lava from the volcano? They really can't, bro. They have to pay, bro. The most I say so. So in chase they go for all the wicked atrocities they owe. For all their wicked atrocities they owe. From San Diego to Trinity Tobago, I'm spitting these words so our Israelites they know. Keeping commandments the only way we grow, so we can defeat the nation Galileo. Nation Galileo, get it, cause they pale. He's bringing them hell for every bill of sale. So family, just examine yourself. When that fuego come, you don't wanna get left. Forsake your sins so you complete the test. Then you can have complete rest from all your stress. Fight to do right to your very last breath, or stay wicked and receive second death. Destruction of enemies is muy bueno. Make sure that's one of the things that you pray for. Into the kingdom, the sinners, they can't go. The sinners can't go. So we say, hasta luego, hasta luego.
Brothers really don't want fuego.
Woo.
Brothers really don't want fuego. Nobody really want fuego. For the one that's too
fanatical.
Brothers really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Brothers really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Nobody really want fuego.
Hey,
for the one that's too fanatical.
Fuego.
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 Brother, you don't want that fuego.
You don't want that fuego.
Hey.
Fuego.
Fuego.
Hey,
sister, you don't want that fuego.
Hey,
fuego.
Fuego.
Fuego. Nobody really want fuego. Nobody really want fuego.
Fuego.
The one that's super negro. You don't want that fuego when destruction.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. I'm Captain Yahshua.
Shabbat shalom. Captain Aparium.
Shalom, Most High Christ blessed. Officer Nehemiah.
Shalom, Most High Christ blessed. Soldier Kappa.
All right, all praises, all praises. Thank you for bearing with us. We're starting a little later than normal here, all right? But Lord's will, we'll be able to get through some good information on the show today. So, house cleaning. 516-531-9797. 516-531-9797. That's a house cleaning, should be housekeeping. I'm all discombobulated. This morning I was talking to my wife. I was like, yeah, the ninth hour. I mean the 11th. Oh man, I've been tired, man. So 516-531-9797 is the call-in number. If you have questions, comments, even if you're watching on the Facebook live stream and you decide you want to call in, got something to say, something to share, you can use that number. Also, you can find us on Facebook at the Lost 144K, at the Lost 144K. And if you want more understanding, more knowledge, go to IsraelUnite.org. That's IsraelUnite.org. Additionally, if you want to purchase any Israelite apparel, start repping your true culture, you can go ahead and go to originalroyalty.com. That's originalroyalty.com. So I'm going to go ahead and post some links and throw it over to Captain A while I go ahead and get this thing situated. All right, so go ahead, bro. Talk about.
Well, again, Shabbat Shalom, brothers and sisters of the mighty nation of Israel. Always a pleasure to be on the show. It's interesting because Captain Yahshua and I last night were talking about, you know, when we have a topic, but we always say that, but we know there always is a topic because there's always something to talk about that deals with Israel, you know, that deals with Israel. It's just how it is, you know, and there's always something to elaborate on those news events with the Bible, that you can always use the Bible, you know. So one of the things that Captain Yahshua and I were talking about is that maybe we should talk about Colin Kaepernick Nike commercial.
Colin? Yeah, he said Colin.
Oh, I thought it was I thought he used to call Colin Powell. Colin Powell. I thought it was spelled the same way. That's probably why.
Yeah, I don't know why he would want to be called Colin.
I know, it's just
no, but it is Colin.
Okay, so Colin Kaepernick, and it is, yeah, correct. Yes. I'm hearing it. You know, obviously Nike, you know, I'm reading now an article here. Nike is winning. Colin Kaepernick was. They ain't winning because they really care about the cause per se, right? Maybe underlying, maybe. But at the end of the day, man, they saw an opportunity to capitalize on something that's important. You know, it's just like when you, you know anything about search engine optimization, right? You want to go ahead and add keywords and stuff and tags in your posts based on what's trending. It's a big thing, right? So they figure, let's go ahead and give them a job, basically. Right? Give them a job. Now, before I get into that, it's interesting because I saw some of those posts. Think it was this week or last week. And I forgot about this. But what's the name of that kid that might be the that he's supposed to be a Christian?
Oh,
T-Bone?
Yeah. And you're going to say he was a Christian.
That was fake news. Fake news.
He was. That was after the anthem. He was singing the anthem.
I've seen videos. I've seen circumstances where men and women that have been in the military have come back and been treated unjustly by the country they have fought for and have been murdered by the country they fought for on our land. That's not right. When asked whether his protest could be construed as a blanket indictment of law enforcement in general, Kaepernick said, there is police brutality. People of color have been targeted by police. So that's a large part of it, and they're government officials. They are put in place by the government. So that's something that this country has to change. There's things we can do to hold them more accountable, make those standards higher. You have people that practice law and are lawyers and go to school for 8 years, but you can become a cop in 6 months and don't have to have the same amount of training as a cosmetologist. That's insane. Someone that's holding a curling iron has more education and more training than people that have a gun and are going out on the streets to protect us. I mean, you do know, I mean, you have a personal knowledge. I mean, there are strict kind of psychological things.
Sure,
that they
no,
do.
Yeah.
But it does make you wonder, like, if those things get missed or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, they don't get missed because they do cover all of that, mm-hmm. right? Now, I could speak for NYPD personally. Do they go in depth? Depth? You know, like again, you remember, you only have 6 months, in my case, to learn police science, social science, law. There's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot. Okay. So are you there like a couple of semesters coming out with a psychology degree or you know? No. Right. But you are trained in how to deal with other people, you know, that are with civilians. That being said, that's breeded from within. You have people that become cops that already had their biases. Okay. And they became cops to go ahead and find an outlet to, how can I say it? To convey their biases and take advantage of their biases. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we see it in government and we see it in other police departments, especially in the South and in the so-called Bible Gates. You know, a lot of them are with the KKK,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it just gives them that empowerment to be able to bring out their biases, for lack of a better way of saying. Does that make sense? You understand what I'm saying?
No, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, so, and just jumping on what you were saying, I mean, it is a lot of hypocrisy, right? Because, all right, Arizona happens to be a state, and I'm definitely, you know, all for it, right, that actually honors their veterans. But Arizona VA hospital is probably one of the worst, right? And that's where you really need to treat your veterans, you know, kid gloves and really take care of them, because a lot of them, you know, need treatment because of they were fighting for that flag and what the flag stands for in the Constitution. So America is very hypocritical. So I understand exactly what his whole point. And, you know, they leave that out, Cap. They leave all that out. Everything he said there was nothing wrong with anything that he said. It's no different from any. Again, it's so hypocritical, right? Because we live in a country where we have freedom of speech,
mm-hmm.
but when the wrong person brings out that freedom of speech, right, now it's a problem. When it's a threat to the powers that be, okay, it's a problem. And we all know that the powers that be now are who? Okay, Esau, who the Bible, who the people ignorantly call the Caucasian, or the white person, okay. Even in that statement that I just made right now, it's taken as a racist thing, but I'm just bringing out facts, right? Their name, their biblical name is Esau, okay? And a lot of them know that, okay? But there's power when you call them Esau versus the other names, because they know that according to Bible prophecy, okay, and according to the Bible dictionary, they're the only nation that has no promise of salvation.
Right.
Okay, so that's a problem, because everybody knows that people know this Bible is a true book. So you got some that think it's a fantasy, what have you, but those are the people that are mentally enslaved. You know, they ever taught, okay, that this Bible is their history book, and I'm talking about so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans. But going back to the old article, he made nothing but sense in there, and that was passive in and of itself. And guess what? He was sitting down. Again, the same Constitution states that you don't have to stand for that flag.
Right. So let me read the next part where we get to the Nate Boyer guy. It says, so on August 30 of 2016, the Army Times published an open letter to Kaepernick from former Seattle Seahawks player Nate Boyer, who served as a Green Beret in U.S. military actions in both Afghanistan and Iraq. In the piece, Boyer reflected on how he felt standing on the field as the anthem played during his only appearance for the Seahawks. I thought about how far I'd come and the men I'd fought alongside who didn't make it back. I thought about those overseas who were risking their lives at the very moment. I selfishly thought about what I had sacrificed to get to where I was. And while I knew I had little to no chance of making the Seahawks roster as a 34-year-old rookie, I was trying. The moment meant so much more to me than even playing in the game did. And to be honest, if I had noticed my teammates sitting on the bench, it would have really hurt me. I'm not judging you for standing up for what you believe in. It's your inalienable right. So even as veterans, at least understanding that. What you are doing takes a lot of courage. And I'd be lying if I said I knew what it was like to walk around in your shoes. I've never had to deal with prejudice because of the color of my skin. And for me to say I can relate to what you've gone through is as ignorant as someone who's never been in a combat zone telling me to understand what it's like going to war. Boyer and Kaepernick met after the open letter was published, and before San Francisco's final preseason game on September 2nd, 2016 in San Diego, the first time the quarterback knelt in front of the bench instead of sitting during the anthem, Boyer posted a photograph of himself with Kaepernick following the meeting and later said, "We sort of came to a middle ground where he would take a knee alongside his teammate. Soldiers take a knee in front of a fallen brother's grave, you know, to show respect. When we're on patrol, you know, and we go into a security halt, we take a knee and we pull security." Kaepernick's then teammate Eric Reed joined him in kneeling for the protest prior to the game. He recalled the experience in an op-ed published in the New York Times. After hours of careful consideration and even a visit from Nate Boyer, a retired Green Beret and former NFL player, we came to the conclusion that we should kneel rather than sit. The next day during the anthem, as a peaceful protest, we chose to kneel because it's a respectful gesture. I remember thinking our posture was like a flag flown at half-mast to mark a tragedy. So they said, okay, you know what? We don't want to disrespect that. And if you're saying, as a Green Beret who did two tours, Afghanistan, Iraq, and that you understand this thing, I said, I'll go ahead and, you know, I'll take a knee instead so that you can see I'm still protesting this. I want to bring light to these injustices, but in no way am I trying to disrespect. But that's lost sight on everybody because that's not really what it's about.
No, no.
That's not really what it's about.
No, that's our point, the hypocrisy.
Right. It's because they see a black man doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That it goes back to that same mentality when they were the slave owners and you better succumb to this white Jesus.
Exactly.
You better go ahead and pledge allegiance to this flag, et cetera, et cetera. Right. So it says, let's see, we chose to kneel because it's Kaepernick reached out and we were able to sit down together for a couple of hours before the last preseason game last year. It was really cool to hear him just listen too and be very open minded too and say, look, I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to hurt you, brothers and sisters. I showed him text messages of friends of mine, and some of them were saying I was a disgrace to the Green Berets because I was even meeting with him. And some of them are like, I'm with you, man, but it really hurts me to see that. So when I talked to them, it was mutual. Me, him, and Eric Reed said, I think maybe taking a knee would be a little more respectful. It's still a demonstration. You're still saying something, but people take a knee to pray. So for me, it was a common ground at least to start from. Although Colin Kaepernick is not currently signed to a team, various NFL players and team owners adopted the kneeling protest prior to games on September 24, 2017, after President Donald Trump told supporters during a rally that owners should fire any player who engaged in demonstrations, saying, get that son of a bitch off the field right now. He's fired. He's fired.
Wow.
Yeah. Hold on a second. You hear that? I hear, like, static in the background. He knows what I'm talking about. Like, the whole time I'm talking, I'm hearing, like masticating. The second time. All right. I'll pray this. Because, you know, these mics pick up everything. You don't even take a breath. So, yeah. Anyway, so, yeah, so I figure I'll give you that instead of the T-Bow thing so that you can get some, go with that whole line. Because I know where you're going. It's hypocrisy. It's BS. What it really is bringing to light hatred for. Because if it was a Edomite thing for, I don't know, to acknowledge something else, you know, whatever it might be, everybody would be all right.
I realize, you know, and hey, there is a discrimination towards us. There is a lot of brutality. Always has been in the beginning.
Hey, let's take it back.
Okay.
They got such an issue with that.
But they have no issue with it. They came to land.
Never mankind dwelt up until the Israelites came here.
They know scriptures.
Columbus is quoted as reading the Bible often, especially in 2nd Exodus 13, which proves that how the northern tribes, Hispanic, and Native Americans came to this part of the hemisphere, the western hemisphere.
And they just came and robbed, pillaged, stole our land.
And again,
the best, most simplistic example of that is
you're in your house, relaxing with your family, you get a knock on the door, and they come in and they say, this is my house now.
Okay?
And it'll start like that, right? They say, they befriend you, whatever, and then all of a sudden, period of time, all right, let's try to paint the picture, right? Period of time, now they say, okay, well, you can't hang out in the living room no more. You got to stay everywhere else in the house. And then over a period of time, well, now you got to stay in your bedroom. Remember, this is your house now. You and your family. Okay, and over a period of time, now you got to stay in the bathroom. You know,
it's the same exact thing that happened here.
We lose sight of that, but maybe that if you start painting the picture and you bring it more home, because a lot of people here in America, right, because it's land of the free, supposedly, over the grave, all that ura stuff, we forget and we get the mentality of, oh, well, I'm doing me. It's about me. I'm taking care of myself, so I don't care. But again, that all goes back to the Bible. It's always going to go back to the Bible. This show is always going to go back to the Bible, right? Because at the end of the day, like the title of the show is, the Lost Native Latin and Black History Show, that's important. And we titled it that. That was in the spirit of the Most High, because we don't know our history. And we've become so assimilated to the under the banner of the flag, quote unquote, under the banner of the Constitution, under the banner of the philosophies and doctrines of America, that we forget, okay, that we have and don't know that we have a bigger history.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Give me Psalms 55, because he's talking about that. I mean, that was prophetic, because it was something that was indicative of those other nations that always hate us, and it was also prophetic of what was to come in that. So start at 20, 55 and 20.
Book of Psalms, chapter 55, verse 20. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant.
Why? Because they came over to these lands. They went into parts of Africa where we were dispersed. They came over here to this side of the world for the native and indigenous, and we had no quarrel with anybody. And it says he put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. We came with peace offerings. Our native brothers and sisters were offering beads and jewelry and gold and jewels and all that. And what happened was the lust of their eyes, seeing the women, you know, the exotic thing. I mean, that puts brothers in the spirit today. You see somebody that's just not common.
Yeah.
Oh, damn, that sister's exotic. You know? Right? So so their lust swelled up inside of them, right? And they put forth their hands against us. It says he have broken his covenant. They made agreements and arrangements, right? Because that was their European system. That was their custom, contracts and this, that, and the other, right? The Israelites at that time, they were just doing things based on, okay, I know you're going to honor your word because we're one people and we fear the same thing. So they came with all their contracts and everything, and then they weren't worth anything because they would just be like, well, it doesn't apply to them. So how crafty was that? They made them sign these covenants. They made them sign these agreements that they could barely understand, right? And then they broke those covenants, and they made themselves feel better about it because they were like, well, it really doesn't pertain to them. It really isn't their system. It really isn't anything. And they just said, all right, we're just going to change it, right? So, and then go ahead, read on.
The words of his mouth were smoother than butter.
Right? So he was a good talker, like he is now. Like you know, you look at the media, you look at all the politicians and the way they speak. You notice they all kind of speak the same.
They all speak the same.
I don't know if they go to a school internally that's private once you become a politician, or is there politician training school? All of them start to speak the same way, right? So their words are smoother than butter. It's like they're always campaigning.
With the exception of Trump.
Well, no, he's well, his words ain't smooth. That's true. His words ain't smooth. His words ain't smooth by any measure. Right? It says their words were smoother than butter.
But war was in his heart.
Because that's all he ever knew. Why? Because the prophecy in Genesis 25 tells you what? By the sword.
Yep,
he would live by the sword. That was his thing. All right? He's never had anything that's been his own. At one time, because he was the elder, and the Lord didn't mean it that way, he had the illusion that he was going to get a birthright. But we understand that that went down the way it did because that's what God intended from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And so what, to line this up where, listen, everybody in Europe at one time was black. I'm talking about complexion color. I'm not saying they were all Jake, all right? Complexion color. And what did he do? He went in there and drawn swords and took over, right? Mm-hmm. Appropriated their culture. It's no different than what they do today with cultural appropriation, right?
Colonized.
So you know, you talk about the original Greeks were black and so on and so forth. He went in there and appropriated the culture. He did it by the sword, all right? It says, but war was in his heart. Go ahead.
His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords.
His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Meaning they came here under false pretenses.
That's exactly what it is.
They weren't going to go ahead and are you kidding me? They wanted it all. They didn't want to bargain, negotiate, pay, none of that stuff. And that same mindset, that it's almost like an entitlement mindset, you see brought forth when you see these things with Kaepernick today. It's not just Kaepernick. It's anybody else who tries to protest against anything or speak up against anything, right? And that's the same mindset that you see, you know?
I guarantee you, if all these things were done by Esau, okay, the Caucasian, they wouldn't be uproars. They wouldn't be uproars. But, again, it's Bible prophecy because we – anytime that we – try to go away from what Massa intended, it's like, uh-oh, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, we're cool with you, but no, I think you're going a little bit too far to one side or the other, you know? But it's interesting, Cap, because when you read the next verse, read 22.
Verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord.
Because everything that happened in 20, in 21 throughout history, like the Cap was bringing out, all the covenants that were broken by the Caucasian man, okay, with us, all right? Those were burdens, right? Because as a result of that, we're destroyed as a people today. But what is the Most High saying here? What is David saying here in the spirit of the Most High? Read it again.
Cast thy burden upon the Lord.
We got to go ahead and understand that the Most High got our back. You see, unlike the churches, they won't read past that, right? That's a solution. Mm-hmm. That's the beginning of a solution. Okay, right. So we know that 20 and 21 happened, right? So, no, now we got to be, forget about, we hate each other. We're just going to do me, right? Because that's my solution, okay? I don't care to know who I really am because it's insignificant, because that's what I was taught, that I'm insignificant. So subconsciously, we don't care.
Right.
But the solution is in 22. Read it again.
Cast thy burden upon the Lord. And he shall sustain
thee. He's going to sustain us. In these last days, he's going to sustain us. How is he going to sustain us? As long as we keep the Lord's statutes and commandments, you blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans, who are the Israelites the Bible speaks of, he's going to have our back. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. All right? We have the solution. See, unfortunately, we like things as human beings, we like things quick and easy. So a lot of us don't have the patience. See, a lot of those movements, they were great. They had great intentions, but they didn't have the patience, number one, right? When they started seeing, number one, that it wasn't working in their favor, they broke off. They didn't stay united. And, of course, that had to do with the strategic craftiness of Esau, right, the government, so on and so forth. But, again, they were missing, like we always say, the one important ingredient, the Bible, their true nationality. Remember, they were called the Black Panthers. Okay, then from there you had the Young Lords, mm-hmm. right, the Brown Berets, separation still. We still weren't united. Same cause, we understood, we empathized and sympathized with each other's cause, but we were still separate. Mm-hmm. The answers and the solutions in the Bible is us coming together, as it states in Ezekiel 37.
Right.
See the difference? In Ezekiel 37, they don't say, okay, Judah, Southern Kingdom, going to do their thing. No, oh, we're going to come together as one stick, not as different groups.
Right. Under Christ.
Under Christ. Now, they've tried it now with the Black Lives Matter, right? Mm-hmm. Because you got our people involved there too. But again, it's still And again, when we say black, we're all included in it, Hispanic Native Americans, but they're not saying, they didn't create that name like that. It's still causing division.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The Bible's all about unity. Unity amongst our brethren.
Mm-hmm.
Ezekiel 37 is the key. Bringing the stick of Judah and the stick of Joseph together as one nation. That's what the whole Bible is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Coming back together to our rightful place of rulership because we are God's chosen. All right? So going back quickly to Kaepernick, and then we're going to transition over to more scriptures. It's gotten so bad. The hate is so big that Esau is willing to mutilate themselves. Saw a video, I don't know if it was fake or not, of a guy burning his Edomite.
Yeah, burning his Nikes.
Burning his Nikes
burning his
with
Nikes.
Them on.
Yeah, I saw that.
They'll walk around with his jersey, right, at the beginning when everything started,
right.
And then burn it. What changed? You loved him, or did you really? Right? That goes to show you something right there. Okay? You'll walk around with someone that you feel is inferior to you, their name on you. But that boggles, that's, to this day, that boggles my mind. Now that my eyes are open,
mm-hmm.
They'll walk around with Rodriguez, McCutcheon. You know, I'm just thinking of baseball players,
right.
You know, that are Israelites, you know, that are Jake.
Uh-huh.
You know, all minority names, right? But let them go wrong, go to what they feel is wrong against the grain, and now they hate them. Because by burning their stuff, you're showing hate.
Yeah.
Over the sudden, you love Nike, and now you're burning your Nikes. Which, hey, it's fine, right? Because, again, the hypocrisy, right? We live in a society where we can do that stuff.
Right.
That's why I burn it.
Freedom of speech.
Hey, we burned the fake image of Christ.
Right.
That is true.
Right?
Yeah.
What's good for one is good for the other.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But don't come and say that we can't do that. Don't come and say that we can't preach the Bible. Not that anybody's really so much trying to hold us back because the word's still going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
But don't say that what we're teaching is hate speech when it's coming from the same Bible that you love and adore.
Right, right.
In God we trust.
In God we trust.
Yeah, right,
right?
Right.
You base your constitution and the laws of the land in the phrase, in God we trust. Your whole judicial system is based on the Bible.
It is.
Which is comes from us because there was no law and order. This is why the scripture says we're peculiar people.
Mm-hmm.
Because our laws, you see, all the other nations knew and know, the majority of them today, that this Bible is only for us. They know that we're the Israelites, but they're not going to say it. And the Most High is not going to allow them because we have to come together ourselves and police ourselves. We have to come together as one nation, as the prophecy says. It's going to happen like this. This is what you're seeing. It's not going to happen any other way. It's going to happen like this. You know what I'm saying? You got a scripture?
Yeah, there was a scripture I was thinking about. How shall they learn unless a man go out there and teach thee? Because mm-hmm. The wicked needs to be revealed before Christ comes back. And how is the wicked going to be revealed unless you show them in the Bible?
Unless you show them in the Bible. Right, right.
Right.
This is right, exactly.
Wicked.
Show them in the Bible and show them what things that are going on in society today.
Right.
It's being revealed. So all this stuff, while tragic, the police killings of innocent blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans, and I say all three because, yes, there's actually articles that show that Native Americans get killed more by cops than actually African Americans. There's articles on that.
I was seeing that.
Yeah,
I was seeing that.
Yeah, and they don't publicize it because it's not beneficial.
They don't want us to see that we're the same people.
They don't want us to see we're the same people. Remember, that's why Psalms 83 says that's part of the crafty counsel. They want us to remain hidden.
It's like Captain always brings out Psalms 2. And
yeah,
and
the bands asunder. Right?
Yeah.
Why do the heathen rage? Okay, and
Baking the brands of brotherhood. That's
bands of brotherhood, right. They cannot put that out there because it's going to be like, hey, because they know that happened back during the Black Panther Young Lord time. Mm-hmm. They were like, whoa, wait a minute. Because you had a lot of people don't know this, right? Because a lot of people ain't from New York. Mm-hmm. But the Young Lords and the Black Panthers, they had Latinos involved in with their groups. Okay? So we understood the oppression from back then. It just wasn't the time. We didn't have the right tool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it wasn't until this word started coming out and we were put back on the corners and taken out of the corners and put back out in front of our people, letting them know their true nationality and how we can change this oppression, right? that it started coming out. So, you know, I was talking with Cap, and I was like, wow, you know, just this morning, I said, obviously, I thought about it last night, but I didn't want to call him too late. And I said, you know what? We had spoken that we were going to probably talk about the Colin Kaepernick situation with the Nike and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I said, you know what? How about we add like Romans 9 and 11 in there? I said, because it's all relative, right? Because it just shows the hate. But why such hate, right, towards a so-called African-American brother,
right?
Right? Why such hate when there's things? Because, again, the right to bear arms, aren't they fighting with the government to make sure that they don't get their guns taken away?
Right.
So what? That's a protest,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay, they're going to say, yeah, but it's peaceful. We don't shoot anybody. You know, we keep the muzzles down. Okay, but, so, but what are we doing? What was Colin Kaepernick doing?
Kneeling.
And he didn't even want to do that. He was sitting.
Right.
Okay? And another veteran told him you should kneel. Right? And like he brought out a good point, me being a veteran, when one of your comrades dies, yeah, you kneel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You take off your helmet. And you kneel.
Right.
You know, when the President John F. Kennedy was met, we still honor. They got the Tomb of the Unknown. Is that the one? The Eternal Flame one? That still stays lit. Okay. 9/11, they still honor that.
Right. But forget about slavery.
But forget about slavery, right? That was an atrocity. One of the biggest atrocities in history. Okay. They still honor the Holocaust. Right?
No, like you said, it's hypocrisy.
It's huge hypocrisy. This country is based on hypocrisy. Okay? And I say this country primarily because they're the leaders of the free world is the title that they have. But at the end of the day, as the scripture says in Psalms 2, why do the heathen rage? All the other nations hate us too. We've seen that display with the Moabs, who the world calls Chinese people, with the hair salon.
Right, that's right, that's right.
They clocked one of our sisters. Okay.
And then they flooded back to the salon.
Because he said, you know what? I know how I'll get them. I'll do a big sale. And I'll sell them sin at half price.
Right, right.
It's crazy.
Sin why? Because some of those wigs are blonde
mm-hmm.
that they bought. Right? It's sin also because you're not proud of who you are. Okay? Not realizing that the Messiah and the Most High God had the same hair that you do, black women, black men.
It's Let me bring something out regarding those hair salons. This is the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, verse 14. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. So this scripture right here is talking about the beauty of the so-called black woman, the Israelite woman. Thy renown, meaning their beauty, went forth towards the heathen, these
sure.
other nations.
Sure.
For it was perfect through my comeliness. This was designed through God. So the image of the so-called Israelite woman is beauty through God.
Comeliness means handsome. So mm-hmm. the Most High saying that it was dead through because we made in his image.
Exactly. But then when you go to verse 15, but thou didst trust in thine own beauty and playedest the harlot because of thy renown and pouredest out thy fornications on everyone that passed by. His it was. They didn't trust in their own beauty because they envy their oppressor. They look as the white man as God. They're not looking at their black skin like Christ is my color. Christ
right.
is God's image of me. I'm created through God, through his perfectness.
Yeah, all praises.
We're just destroyed as a people.
Yeah, that's part, yeah, that goes good with that. That's so true. You know, it goes back with why we hate each other. You know, we look at each other and we don't see God or Christ in each other. Right? We see just another Negro, another Hispanic. That's how we look at it. And that keeps us with that dog-eat-dog mentality. You know, with that I'm going to do me mentality. You know?
I grew up with that.
Yeah.
It's not getting us anywhere as a people. We must come united through Christ.
It never has. It never has. You're right. And it has to be through Christ, through the faith of Christ, or well, keeping the law, statutes, and commandments in the faith of Christ. That's really the bottom line. So, read 22 again, Psalms 55 and 22.
Mm-hmm. The book of Psalms, chapter 55, and verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord.
The solutions, brothers and sisters, you blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans, put the trust in the Lord. He's going to take care of you, If you repent as an Israelite man and woman and start following the Lord's statutes and commandments, it's a process. We understand that. Nothing that we ever bring out is magic where we're going to snap our fingers. All right, you're good. No, it's a process. Okay, that's why Cap likes to bring out a lot. We're repenting. It's a process. It's an action nonetheless, but it's a process. Go ahead.
And he shall sustain thee.
There you go. He's going to take care of you. Go ahead.
He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved.
He's never going to suffer the righteous to be moved. As long as you're following the law, statutes, and commandments to be righteous, for those that don't know, give me Deuteronomy 6:24, I believe it is. Okay. What does it mean to be righteous?
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6 and verse 25.
25.
And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he had commanded us.
As he had commanded us. Read the bottom of 22 again. He shall
never suffer the righteous to be moved.
He shall never suffer those that are following the laws, statutes, and commandments to be moved, meaning to be taken out of your rightful place of rulership, to be moved out from being your kings, okay, to being what Israel stands for, princes of God. That's what the word Israel stands for. That's who you are, you blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans. So transitioning over now, how this is all relative with Romans 9 and Romans 11. And these are very, very, the book of Romans, and we've brought it out many, many times, is very, very, very heavy. Very heavy. Okay? To the point where it's just one of the verses that's a stumbling block is it says Jews and Greeks mm-hmm. in the book of Romans, but it's the book of Romans talking to the Romans.
Right.
And people get stuffed up. Oh, well, look, the Greeks could be saved too. Well, how come it doesn't say Jews and all the other nations? There was other nations walking the earth. Why just Jews and Greeks? And like we said, not to get into it now, you have to go back and know the history, okay, in the book of Maccabees, and explain how we were called Greeks. We were Hellenists. Today we're Americanized. They were Hellenists. Okay, they were Jews who spoke Greek and followed Greekish customs, is the definition, okay, of what it means to be a Hellenist. That's what it's referring to, Jews and Greeks. Okay? But just to show you and elaborate that the Bible says that you are special, okay? Romans 9, what's so heavy about Romans 9, it's a decent-sized chapter, right? I mean, it's okay, right? But it's in the New Testament. And everything that's said in the Old Testament and the New Testament is just reiterated in the New Testament.
It's confirmed.
Yeah, so the Old, you can't understand, you can't read the Old, you can't read the New, and I have read the Old. And that's where the hiccup comes. Oh, well, the laws were done away with. No, that's not what he means. Okay, you read Hebrews 8 and explains what the Most High meant, why there was a New Testament was created. So when you read, you start a Romans 9 and 1, and you have to understand that Paul was from an Israelite. I'm going to say here from the tribe of Benjamin, who today are the sons of Jamaicans.
Before you jump even into that, let's just say that I want to bring this to the tone so that they don't think it's you saying that. It's Peter said the same thing.
Right.
So it says, let's say 2 Corinthians 3:14.
The book of 2 Corinthians 3:14. Wherefore, love, seeing that look such things, be diligent, that ye may be found out in peace, without spot,
right, so he's lighting the soul of what he's about to say. And he says, you got to be diligent, you may be found out in peace, in peace, without spot, in peace, read.
And the count of the long-suffering of our Lord salvation, even as the beloved brother Paul, also according to his wisdom,
given unto him, hath
written to you.
He said, account of the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. Even as Paul was saying the same thing, also according to his wisdom, given him, and not any of the other disciples,
right?
Because he understands that Paul's knowledge was above the Lord. That's why he highlight Paul, right? Because he said, even Paul have something to say.
All right,
read.
As also in all his epistles,
speaking in them of being
wise. Why? Because the ball was so heavy and so deep that he knows that Paul's ministry was so strong. That's the foundation of what modern-day Christianity as a religion is built upon. Paul's letters, right? And it's a misconstruement of those letters, a misunderstanding of those letters. So he's going out of his way to let you know, listen, the same things I'm speaking, Paul was speaking those same things. It's just Paul's wisdom was above ours. Paul was given something that he was, and when you read him on his 9, he tells you, just in opening verses, like the stuff that Paul saw, that's the spirit, right? So Paul was giving you a level of understanding, so he says he wrote of these things, right? Go ahead.
In which are some things hard to be understood.
He said Paul's letters, some things are hard to be understood. Paul's letters, some things are hard to be understood. I don't understand how, this is a scripture, man, that's just probably glazed over. It wasn't until I started walking in this truth that this even popped in on my radar, right? And he says that some things are hard to be understood. Go ahead.
Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest.
He said they that are unlearned and unstable rest. Go to gum. Like I'm talking and I keep hearing it and it's just clicking away and everybody else is hearing it too. It's just in between breaths.
I'm enthralled.
that's bad radio quality. Damn. I'm trying to concentrate and I keep hearing it in between breaths when I'm ready to talk. That's exactly. Y'all hear it. That's why you laughing, right?
Yeah,
I'm trying to stay focused. Go ahead. Go back and read verse 16 from the top.
2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood.
So he says, listen, Paul's speaking about Christ, but some things in what he said are hard to be understood. Right? Go ahead.
Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest.
He says if you're unlearned and unstable, you're going to have issues with some of what he's saying. You're going to be confused. Go ahead.
As they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction.
And this is why I opened with 14, because when he says that you may be diligent, he's not just talking about in the keeping of the commandments, but in the understanding and the testimony of the Most High in Christ. You have to understand the testimony of Christ. And he's telling you that if you're not diligent with what you were saying before you started reading Romans 9, in the old and the new, and understanding the whole scriptures and historically, he says, them that are unlearned. Because, right, if Paul was sent to the Gentiles that were without the commandments and were without God for a time,
mm-hmm.
and now they're coming back to it, they were going to have problems. That's the same issue with the people today. When you've been away from it, when you don't understand it, you're going to have issues with it when you try to make that your foundation and not the whole scripture.
Mm-hmm.
When you try to make this the foundation and not the understanding in Christ your foundation. I'm sorry, this should have been silence. You know, all these gadgets, I forget which ones are off, right? And that's the issue here, because he's telling you, listen, those of you who are dealing with in that way, and you haven't put a good foundation in understanding your history,
mm-hmm.
and understanding historically what the Most High was about, is about, and has always been about, he goes, you're going to have problems, and it's going to be unto your own destruction. What destruction is that? That you're not going to be found of Christ in that day. Because you're here professing a false doctrine,
mm-hmm.
you're here professing and spewing lies, and you're and what you're really guilty of, in a grander level, it's not just a false doctrine, but you're responsible for the subjugation of some of God's people that actually get fooled by that stuff,
mm-hmm.
and those lies. Read on.
Verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness.
He said, ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, I'm giving you the heads up. He goes, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked. He's saying those who try to preach this thing without the proper understanding, they are wicked. And you are going to be led away with that error. What? Understanding that you still must keep those laws.
Mm-hmm.
It's no great mystery that the laws are not done away with. You still must keep them. And the hypocrisy of these groups, these purported Christians, these groups that come out here and say, you don't have to do this,
but the scripture says this, and you're being, it's like they want to pick and choose what's to apply. And because it's not a law that says thou shalt or thou shalt or thou shalt not, all right? Those are the ones that they say are done away with, but not realizing that all these words, they are spirit, they are life.
Mm-hmm.
All scripture is profitable. What? For correction, instruction, and righteousness,
mm-hmm.
for reproof. And they want to pick and choose, not understanding that you got to keep all of it. It's all profitable. And he says, you're going to fall from your own steadfastness. You must stay steadfast in this because you'll be put away. We spoke about it a couple of weeks ago in L.A. The bewitching of those things,
mm-hmm.
if it were possible, shall deceive the very elect. The intoxication of the lies that they spew and that they sell. And they want to sit there almost to tears talking about to being a Christian. You're damn right. Your definition of a Christian,
right.
The non-biblical definition of a Christian, that's what I got to be clear about. It's the non-biblical definition of a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I would be upset with what we're preaching because we're preaching true Christianity, which is what? This is our heritage, you so-called natives, blacks, Hispanics, those who are scattered under the curses, all right? And that you must keep the commandments and the testimony of Christ. And what that means. I'm telling you, what a fugazi fake prize if everybody could just make. I'm telling you, I can't get over it. You can be a demon your whole life. And when you see the skies crack, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And you win? That's not what the scripture says. That's not what the parable of the talents say.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what Christ says in Matthew 5:17-20.
Right.
How hard is it to understand that your righteousness has to exceed
the
righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees? He didn't say, don't be like them. He said it has to be more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. The more than that is that faith in Christ, right? It's that loving your neighbor as yourself aspect of things.
Mm-hmm.
That's the more than that he's speaking about. But he didn't say, don't do what they do. He said it has to be better than what they do. It has to be beyond what they do. Meaning, keep those things. And then do even more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, because if you break the least, you shall in no wise break it and teach other men so.
Mm-hmm.
So those that verbally, vocally teach it and with their example teach it, it says you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. In no wise. That means at all. At all.
There ain't no exceptions.
No exceptions. No exceptions.
Modern Christianity says the opposite.
No, and if we're able to get to it in Romans 9, you're going to read it when you get to around 13, 14. He says, God will have mercy on whom he will have mercy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for you. Because that's the other blasphemy that they have. That if you've accepted him, you got your ticket.
Yeah, they're making the decision.
They're making the decision. They want to talk about us and that, oh, it's not about Christ. It absolutely is about Christ. Because he's the one that's going to sift.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture tells you. The wheat from the chaff, like a sieve.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to take out all that don't belong there. And whether that is those who are coming in, trying to purport that they're Israel, trying to be there like they are, or those that are full of crap that are Israel and just aren't really about the Most High in Christ, not keeping his statutes and commandments. He says, don't worry. I'm going to sift it. I'm going to be the one that's going to separate the wheat from the chaff in that day. But they'll tell you, no, if you accept it, that's you're saved. They say, if you accept it, you're saved. We understand the proper understanding of the scriptures and Paul's writings that what? He says those that run the race, right, all run for a prize.
Mm-hmm.
So what? I was going over it last week when we were talking about it in class. And he says, so run it diligently. Run mm-hmm. it like this. So he's telling you, if it's a race, then what type of race that you get to the beginning line, right? Because this is Christianity. Look, I'm going to paint a picture for you. This is Christianity.
Paint the picture.
You sit down, right? They make you say some silly thing. I renounce Satan and all his works. I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and that's it. And then they say, that's it. You're done. That's not a race. What type of race do you get to the starting line, the gun will go off, and you don't even get to take a step?
You finish.
And they say, you're done. You've made it. It's contrary to all the scriptures. If you were to just read and let it marinate and simmer all over you, You would see the hypocrisy and you would see the lies. The set apart would see, because we also understand that there's some that'll never see, right? Because the scripture tells you it's not possible to deceive the elect.
Mm-hmm.
So those that stay mm-hmm. in deception until the grave, because they could go 30 years in deception and then finally see it. That's the way the Lord works, right?
Right.
So we can't, it's not to us to condemn anybody either.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't, we know that that's their end. So the audacity of these Christian religions, of these people to who purport to be Christians, to say that you're saved, I'm saved. They will tell you that to their face, I'm saved. No, you're not. You have the promise of salvation, and all through the scriptures in the New Testament, it tells you what you need to do to keep the promise of salvation. Madness. So, okay, if you want
to
go into...
Yeah, go back to the verses there that about said unlearned.
Yeah.
Right. Read it from the top, because I want to bring something out on that. And Peters?
Yeah.
I got you.
What, 14? Yeah, go to, all the way to
somebody
that?
Bring it up. Yeah.
2 Peter 3:14?
Well, 14. Oh, I got you.
Okay.
The book of 2 Peter, chapter 3 and verse 16. Also in his epistles...
In all his epistles.
Meaning every single book in the Bible written by Paul. Go ahead.
Speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood.
Hard to be understood. Okay, go ahead.
Which they that are unlearned.
They that are what?
Unlearned.
Now that's not only talking about spiritually unlearned. That's talking about unlearned in your true nationality. Unlearned in historically. Not only spiritually, but historically. Because where the misconception comes in and where the stumbling block comes in is that you end the Bible in the Persian captivity, and then everything in between is taken out, right? And then you start in the Roman captivity. When they call it a Greco-Roman period for a reason. It was the Greeks that were ruling, and they were consumed by the Romans. There's a lot of history, hundreds of years of history missing from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The puzzle, the main puzzle, you got to ask yourself, why did that happen? When it was always written, the Apocrypha was always in the Bible. And that whole chunk was taken out, and now you have confusion of not knowing who you are. So when he says unlearned on knowing who you are, knowing your history as well. Because some people, they go to theology school, right? They know these verses,
mm-hmm.
Okay. But in that theology school, are they teaching the true nationality?
Well, you spoke very true in what you just said. They know these verses,
mm-hmm.
but they don't understand them.
They don't understand them, and that goes back with the other thing he says, who are unlearned, and the sayings are hard. Go ahead.
Which they are that are unlearned and unstable.
And unstable. Why are they unstable? Because you are not going to be able to convey what this Bible is trying to teach, if you are not in the spirit, and if you are not in the spirit, means you're not following the law, statutes, and commandments. There's plenty of scriptures on that. Your wisdom comes from following the law, statutes, and commandments. And these pastors are not doing that. These theology schools are not designed for that, because on the contrary, that's one of the crafty devices that's used. Okay? They're like, okay, they're very crafty. All right? Scripture says that they do a deep and diligent search. They realize how can we continue to perpetuate the control of their mind.
So I want to support. Are you done with that?
Yeah,
I want to support you. Give me Isaiah 8:20.
Yeah, support.
I want to establish this more.
Establish it.
8:20.
If I may, Brother Parham, I want to
preach, Brother Preach.
I want to exhort you some more with. Give me Isaiah 8:20. Read that.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 8, verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them.
Now, we've gone over this a bit. Many of us will read this, right? It says to the law and to the testimony. It's two things, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. The testimony, we know what the law is, right? It's dealing with what Christ said. Your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
It says, but that alone is not enough. It says you have to have the testimony,
mm-hmm.
the testimony of Christ. But is that all that they're talking about? No. So I'm going to look up testimony, right? And it says evidence in support of a fact or statement, proof. The testimony that we are the Israelites that the Bible speaks
right.
of, that we are the ones that have been under the curses and never been. Those who have ever been reputed as nothing are who they are,
mm-hmm.
right? That from the foundation of the earth, when you read, and get me that ready, is it 2 Ezra 6?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Get that ready, because I'm going to give you the evidence
mm-hmm.
in support of a fact or statement, I'm going to give you the proof, because the only proof that matters is the biblical proof.
Right.
Because of making many books, there is no end, as you went over. The testimony that we are the Israelites, that Christ came only for us, who the Israelites look like, it's important in these days. It's important to understand that, because we have a whitewashed image in our minds, and that sets up that takes the whole proper understanding of the Bible and throws it somewhere else, because then it puts those people in front of you as the leader, as the God. And then logically, if they're the ones that God chose, then we're the ones that were lesser. And people run around saying that. Shame on you to think that you're less than what you really are, chosen and royal. Because that's what Christianity preaches. All right? So it says evidence in support of a fact or statement of proof. Here's another thing. There's one that says testimonies, the precepts of God. And then there's another one here as far as synonyms. And I like this one. It says corroboration, attestation, affirmation.
Affirmation.
The assertion that something exists or is true. That's what testimony means. So when it says to the law and to the testimony, it says to the proof, to the fact, to the assertion that something exists or is true. If they don't speak according to this, it's because there is no light in them. What did I ask you to get?
2 Ezra 6 and 56.
Go ahead, get it.
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 6, verse 56. As for the other people.
Wait, no, maybe I want you to start up further. What's it say above it?
If you start at verse 54, it says, and after these, Adam also, whom thou madest Lord of all thy creatures, of him come we all, and the people also whom thou hast chosen.
Good. So, right, we have to get that part, and we have to start up there, because it says, listen, understand that after these, Adam also, and he says after these, he's talking about the beast, the cattle, the creeping things. He says, after these, Adam also, whom thou madest Lord of all thy creatures, meaning we were made to be gods, all right? He says, we made him Lord of all thy creatures. Of him come we all. We all come from Adam. And he says, and the people also whom thou hast chosen. He goes, within that, you chose. There's a set line. We're all God's creatures. Yes, we are. But there is a chosen amongst God's creatures. Read.
All this have I spoken before thee, O Lord, because thou madest the world for our sake.
For our sakes is the chosen. Read.
And as for the other people, which also come of Adam, thou hast said that they are nothing.
The other people that are not Israel, that are not the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because that's where the lineage goes through. Those who want to say we all have Abraham to our father. He says, thou hast said that they are nothing. Read.
But be like unto spittle.
Go ahead.
And hath likened the abundance of them unto a drop that falleth from a vessel.
That's something that it's not significant. I got a drop of water here, right here. If I were to shake that away, it doesn't add to this. It doesn't really, it's nothing. It's insignificant, right? So that drop fell down. It don't mean anything. If I would have poured it out in a way, it would evaporate in a second. Don't mean a damn thing. Read.
And now, O Lord, behold, these heathen.
These other nations, because that's what heathen mean. These other nations that are not Israel, that are not your chosen. Go ahead.
Which have ever been reputed as nothing.
That's a testimony. That's a statement of fact. That's an assertion that it's something exists or is true. Just like, we are the chosen. You have to understand who is not the chosen then.
But we were always the chosen.
Because this invalidates the doctrine that all people are chosen. Mm-hmm. That God and Christ is for all people, right? And you can stay in the New Testament if you want, because then they'll try to say, okay, we'll take that out. Well, you can't do that then. It's like you go to play basketball without the ball. They'll be like, okay, no, but you can't use that ball then. Or there's too much air in the ball. Or here, all right, we're gonna play baseball, but you have to play without your glove because you're too good. That's really what they're saying. They're trying to handicap you,
mm-hmm.
But it's not handicap, right? It goes into that all this stuff, like you were saying, it begs the question, how does it end one way and then pick up with another? Where's the rest of that history, right? Because stuff like this is found in there. And he says, they have ever been reputed as nothing. Go ahead.
They have ever been reputed as nothing and have begun to be lords over us and to devour us.
Go ahead.
But we, thy people, whom thou hast called thy firstborn.
Because it's letting you know who would be the ones in charge. And he says, those of us who are in their hands, go ahead. We who have called thy firstborn, go ahead.
Thy only begotten and thy fervent lover are given into their hand.
Read.
If the world now be made for our sakes, why do we not possess an inheritance with the world? How long shall this endure?
And later on, he goes in and he explains what's going on and what's happening. And again, it's all a byproduct of the curses and everything that we were going to be under in these scriptures. That's testimony. That's testimony. And you have to have the law and the testimony. So going with what you said, that's why I say, I'm going to exhort you, brother. I want to add something to it, because a lot of times we read that one verse, that short verse in Isaiah, and not realize how much is really being said there. And I didn't even jump into the law part, but you can make a whole class springboarding off of that one verse. You break down the law and you break down what the testimony is. Mm-hmm. And the testimony has many things, because testimony deals with us being the Israelites and only us and who they are today, mm-hmm. who the heathen are, who are the nations that have no promise of salvation, right? Because all nations will be in the kingdom. They'll have a place, though. They'll have a purpose, and some only for a time, mm-hmm. right? We know Esau is only for a time. So we're all God's children. You have to understand the real testimony behind it. Going back to 2 Peter 3, you have to understand all this. And if you don't, you are going to err. Just like this is why you have so many denominations mm-hmm. of everybody that claims to worship the same Christ. Mm-hmm. Even amongst themselves, they all worship that image of the beast. But they have so much variance in between themselves.
And that alone should raise a red flag. Nowhere in the Bible do you see Pentecostals, Jehovah's Witness, Baptists, Catholics. You don't see none of that in there. Right? At all. So how could you go ahead and create that on your own? The scripture says he that adds or takes away from the Bible ain't getting salvation. Okay? Read the scripture where it said about the firstborn again. Read the whole thing.
Yeah, 2 Ezra chapter 6, verse 58. But we, thy people, whom thou hast called thy firstborn.
Stop. That eliminates that everybody could be saved right there. Only one person is born first. Even when you have triplets or twins, one comes out first. I've never seen two kids coming out of a woman's vagina at the same time.
It don't happen that way.
Nope.
So that rules out that everybody could be saved even in that verse alone.
Right. It does.
There's only one that was born first, and the Most High chose us, you blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans. Who are the Israelites? But let's go to talk about testimony, okay, and the truth. And a lot of Christians, the gospel. Gospel means good news, right? Testimony, we established, according to the definition, means a truth, right? That is a true fact. So let's read Luke chapter 1, and let's start at 68 and read all the way down to 74. This is the New Testament. It's the book of Luke. Okay, you want to talk about the testimony and what the gospel is? This right here, these verses, okay, encompasses what the whole Bible is about.
It's the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.
Stop. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. And I know we've gone over this before, but you know what? There's a lot of new listeners on listening to us, and some of our people that have listened to us, sometimes they may forget this because they may come across some people that may be, quote-unquote, a little learned in the Bible, and they try to confound them. But let's keep it real. This is the New Testament. Read it from the top again, please.
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.
No, of everyone.
Of Israel.
Okay, and after Israel, for those who understand grammar 101, there's a colon there. Am I not mistaken?
Yes.
Okay, which anything after colon means it's going to define the previous sentence. Go ahead.
For he hath visited and redeemed his people.
So it's saying, the thought's continuing, that Israel, blessed is Israel, and that Israel is his people. Nowhere there does it say everyone. Go ahead.
And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David.
I don't know. So far, the first two verses, I'm seeing a lot of possessive pronouns, meaning that it's pertaining to one particular group of people. Okay? The horn of salvation represents a king. That king is Christ, the black Messiah. Go ahead.
As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets.
As he spake by every prophet that's in this Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Obadiah, on and on and on.
The prophets that were in the book of Genesis, which the book of Genesis established the world that we live in today, the nations that are living, walking the earth today, the 18 nations and 18 nations only, go ahead.
Which have been since the world began.
I just said that, did I not? In the book of Genesis. Go ahead.
That we should be saved from our enemies.
So there it goes again, possessive pronoun, we. I've went ahead and taken everything that's a possessive pronoun, I've underlined it here. And it's continuing. You should do the same thing. Go ahead.
And from the hand of all that hate us.
And from the hand of all that hate us. Who's the us? Let's not lose the thought. Go back to verse 1.
Verse 68.
68, right?
Or no, excuse me, verse 69.
68.
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.
So we already know that these verses are talking about a nation called Israel. Let's jump down to 71 again.
71. That we should be,
Israel, go ahead.
That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us.
That hate who? Israel.
Us.
Israel, go ahead.
To perform the mercy promised to our fathers.
Perform the mercy promised to our fathers, starting from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Go ahead.
And to remember his holy covenant.
The covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Go ahead.
The oath which he swore to our father Abraham.
There you go. Go ahead.
That he would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear.
Might serve him without fear. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's the Bible in a nutshell. That's the cliff notes of what the Bible is all about. And you have verses like that in the Old Testament too. So where are you coming from that God is here to save everyone? That's the New Testament. Refute that. Refute that. You got anything, Kat, before I go into Romans 9 real quick? Do we have time? What's the time we're looking at? Just to touch on it?
17 minutes.
17 minutes. Okay. Let's give you more proof. We're going to stay in the New Testament, right? Because I had someone ask me the other day, we were talking about swearing, you know, and like, you know, don't swear when you go to court, what have you. And he was like, yeah, well, you know, what religion? You know, I said, you know, well, I follow the Bible. That's all in the Bible. You know, and I gave him all the verses, what have you. And he says, yeah, because, you know, I'm a Messianic Jew, but I've never heard that before, you know. So there's a lot of stuff that people don't know. His statement was, is that in the Old Testament? In the Old Testament? I said, no, actually, I said, it's in Old and New that we're not to swear, you know. So let's go to Romans 9 now, all right, because this is the headbanger. You could go ahead and destroy any Christianity doctrine, and notice I use Christianity, okay, or so-called Christians, with this verse alone.
Verse 3?
Let's start from the top, 9, okay. 9 and 1.
The book of
See
Romans,
how far we could get.
Chapter 9, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ.
In Christ.
I lie not.
He lies not.
My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost.
Okay, go ahead.
That I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart.
For who and why?
For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren.
Brethren means your brothers.
My kinsmen.
My kinsmen. So stop right there. You may be saying, but we are brothers. Right? Here's the banger.
According to the flesh.
But we ain't all from the same seed. We ain't all from the same seed. Yes, blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans, yes, we're from the same seed. Okay? We are from the same seed. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
The 12 tribes of Israel. But every other nations are not. Go ahead.
Who are Israelites?
Who are who?
Who are Israelites?
No, who are everybody.
Who are Israelites?
Because remember, the argument is everyone could be saved. What is Paul saying? The same books that they swear in, that they teach their whole doctrine is based on Paul, right? So you can't say Paul says Jews and Greeks could be saved and then ignore this, because it's not, so was Paul a liar?
That's why in verse 1 it says I say the truth in Christ.
He lies not.
He lies not.
Let me precept that real quick. Romans 11 and 1.
Go ahead.
It's the book of Romans chapter 11 verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Benjamin, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin.
So he's letting you know, that's not just Abraham. I got to take it a step further and let you know it's of the tribe of Benjamin.
That's right.
And if you understand historically, then you'll know that you trace that back, that it's coming from Jacob and then from Isaac. That's where that seed comes from. Read the next verse.
God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What ye not what the scripture saith of Elias? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying?
So the point that I want to bring out in that is that, first of all, this is the book of Romans, right? So he's supposed to be talking to the Romans. But why is he going so much into that if it's we're dealing with the Romans?
Right. He's focusing on Israelites.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. That's the whole base of Romans 9. We're not going to have time to get to Romans 11 today. You know, we'll touch on a little bit of Romans 9. But he's letting you know, like, why is he opening with these things? Because he's setting the tone to let you know the deal.
Right.
He's not there for everybody.
He's also this also lets us know that there was confusion back then too. There's no new thing under the sun. So like we today are bringing forth your true nationality, you Blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans, to you, who you really are. Paul was doing the same thing. There was people that had issues back then, which is why he's bringing that up. But guess what? Throughout the Bible, multiple times you hear it's written, Abraham, Isaac, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, those of you that know history, Jacob had a brother named Esau, right? Came from the same father, right? Mm-hmm. Why doesn't it say the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Esau? It never says that. Did I just throw a curveball at you?
It is a curveball. You got to think about it.
Think about it.
You got to think about it.
Throughout the Bible, it never says anything other than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why isn't Esau mentioned there?
And the same thing with Japheth. Abraham, Isaac, and then you had Japheth too, that was also born of that seed,
right?
But wasn't chosen.
Exactly. But let's take it just with Jacob and Esau. They were brothers. In fact, Esau was born first, the firstborn.
Right.
Why isn't he there in that saying?
Romans 9 is going to explain those promises.
Go ahead.
Back to verse 4,
yep.
Romans 9. The book of Romans, chapter 9, verse 4. Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption?
No, the adoption only pertains to Israelites. Go ahead.
And the glory and the covenant.
Covenants, the old covenant and the new covenant.
And the giving of the law.
And the giving of the law. That goes with Psalms 147,
mm-hmm.
right?
And the service of God and the promises.
Go ahead.
Wait, stop there for a second.
Okay, go ahead.
He's telling you that to Israelites pertains the adoption, and I went over this, I think, a few weeks ago on the show, the adoption of sons. Who are the Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of law and the service of God and the promises? So if that only pertains to the Israelites, then what is he doing telling the Romans that, if he's there to tell Romans,
actual Romans, right.
All right, that they can be saved? Is he contradicting himself? Or are you twisting things? It's the latter. It's the latter. Because he's saying this stuff pertains to the Israelites. So how do you get Christianity and all people are saved out of that after reading that?
And that's from Paul, the ambassador, supposedly to all nations.
Yeah, when they say to all nations, we understand that he's going through this history because many of our brothers and sisters that have been without the Most High in Christ during that split, he's bringing them back to remembrance because they stopped teaching that history.
Right.
They were running around just like we were today.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm Puerto Rican. What are you talking about? No, brother. Do you know there's a history? Do you know that we are these people that the Bible speaks of? Do you know that this is going on? Testimony. Testimony is being given.
Right. They were walking around saying, I'm a Roman. I'm a Galatian. I'm an Ephesian. Ain't no different from today. Right. This is why he had to go, because, again, the curses where we were going to be scattered throughout the four corners of the earth. He went like we Israel United in Christ has been doing for years and is continuing to do. We're going all over the world to where our people are at. And that's biblical. That's what Paul was doing. That's what the disciples were doing. They were going to all the countries where we were scattered because our people were living, again, as Romans, as Galatians, as Ephesians, right? And then there's a book called the Book of Hebrews. Those are the people, okay, that knew for the most part that they were Israelites. And he was just reinforcing, hey, okay, you need to be living like it, not just in title, but by your works. And then James had to speak about it. And then John had to speak about it. It just had to continue to be reinforced because
of the different cultures that we had accepted to follow, and not the culture of what the Most High gave us, not the heritage that the Most High gave us. How are we looking, Kevin?
8 minutes.
8 minutes. So go ahead.
Verse 5. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh?
The flesh. You got to read concerning the flesh, not spiritual. Concerning the seed. Go ahead.
Concerning the flesh, Christ came.
Because he came through the seed. He came through sex. Not this immaculate nonsense, which is all pagan. Go ahead.
Who is over all. God blessed forever. Amen.
All praises. Amen means that in agreement. Go ahead.
Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel.
And I did a class a few weeks about this. Okay. You have people that are Israelites, but they're not Israelites because they don't know, or they know and they're just not following the law, statutes, and commandments, or living their life as Israelite men and women.
Mm-hmm.
All right, go ahead.
7.
Verse 7, neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children.
Why? Because he had Ishmael, right? He had wives. He had Keturah, he had Hagar, he had Sarah, and he had other concubines. None of those, they're insignificant. You never hear about it. You hear about Ishmael because that's how the Most High needed to establish who the Arabs are today. Okay? But at the end of the day, just because they came from his seed, they were not the chosen. They were not the firstborn. Go ahead.
But in Isaac shall thy seed be called.
And he just proved it right there. Remember what I said? Mm-hmm. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Esau, Elam,
right.
Ishmael.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why doesn't it say that? Why does it isolate? Because Romans 9 is proving to you it started with Abraham. Okay? Through Abraham's lineage came Isaac. Right? Isaac's lineage came Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
But also through Isaac's lineage came Esau. Why is he not mentioned? This is why they don't like when we call them Esau. Because that exemplifies and it brings out the truth of, wait a minute. They're going to start reading the Bible and realize that we're not dominant like they think we are.
Mm-hmm.
We're not God's chosen. Go ahead.
Verse 8. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God.
That's talking about the other nations, the other seeds of Abraham. Okay, go ahead.
But the children of the promise are counted for the seed.
Go ahead.
For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come. And Sarah shall have a son.
So now Paul is explaining history now. This is history here in Romans 9. Now he's breaking down everything that he prefaced. Now he's going to break it down. If you don't understand what I'm talking about on the first eight verses, now I'm going to show you related to history. Go ahead.
Not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth.
That's referring to Jacob and Esau.
Mm-hmm.
So he already had established that, hey, you know what? Esau didn't even do anything. He didn't do anything.
It was already established.
But it's already established that he was not going to be the God, that they were not going to be the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was not going to be God's chosen. It was going to be Abraham, Isaac. This right here, man, again, the same thing with Luke 1:68 through the verses that we read. This right here is the headbanger. And it amazes me how more so-called Christians don't read this. They're so into the New Testament, but they don't read this. Just Romans 9, book of Romans is heavy to begin with. You know, but this Romans 9 is the history of the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation.
It even mentions Jacob and Esau.
Go ahead.
Verse 12. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger.
Esau was born first.
Right.
And in the last days, he was going to be the servant. That's not racist. The Most High God established this. Why? It's racist because now we know who we are. Blacks, Hispanics, and Americans. Now we're waking up to the fact that, wait a minute. Don't matter that he was born first. It don't matter that he's the dominant nation now. Because according to Bible prophecy, that was turned upside down. through our iniquities, through the curses. It's going to go back to our rightful place of rulership. You got something, Cap?
No.
Go ahead.
Verse 13, as it is written, Jacob have I loved.
As it is written in the Bible. Go ahead.
But Esau have I hated.
Is that us saying that? Is that coming out of our mouth? Are we saying we hate anybody? Paul is saying that the Most High God said that. Mm-hmm. Don't be mad at us. Be mad at your forefather Esau. How about that? Somebody going to be mad at God. He knows that the other nations hate him anyway. Why do they hate him? Because they know that we are his chosen, that he only chose one nation. Go ahead.
Verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God?
Get mad at God. Is there unrighteousness? Is he doing something that he shouldn't be doing? The creator of heaven and earth and the universe? Oh, so you don't love him now, right?
Right.
You love him, right? You preach, oh, follow God, right? Follow Christ, who's the Son of God. How you feel now, other nations? How do you feel now? Right? And I say other nations because every other nation follows Christianity too. They follow their own beliefs, Buddha, Allah, all of that crazy nonsense. But it's a lot that follow Christianity. Now what? Go ahead.
What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid.
God forbid. Don't matter how you feel. They ain't no unrighteous. That's how the Most High God wanted it. Go ahead.
Verse 15. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy.
Not according to Christianity. Captain brought it out. All you got to say is what do they say, Cap? What's the famous thing they say?
I accept the Lord.
Yeah, accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's it. So a man is telling you that you're going to get mercy. Paul is saying otherwise. He's saying the Most High says what?
For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy.
Go ahead.
And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.
He mentioned that a few verses up. He said Esau didn't do anything. But it's his decision to choose the lineage of Jacob, who was the father of the 12 tribes that are made up by you so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans.
I hope I'm saying it right, Brother Kwesi. That's a good question. I have precepts to deal with it. We literally have a minute on the show left. What I'll do is I will take a few to answer. We'll just run the live broadcast a little longer, but okay. The radio show is about to sign off. So let me do the sign off for the radio show, and then I'll deal with your question. All right. So, okay. So let me just pull this up.
You're on Facebook. Stay on Facebook. We're still going to be on Facebook, just not the
Yeah, I just
want
to deal with this question. You know, then some people say, hey, you're running from questions. Okay, so as far as the radio side, all praises to the Most High in Christ. Good show, good salient points that came out today. Lord's will, you catch the show next Sabbath as well. I believe they've been doing the Spanish show on Sundays. You know, bear with us. There's been some technical difficulties on some aspects of the show. We're doing our best here with something that, you know, where we've been learning as we go. I do believe it's gotten better, though. So anyway, that's the Native Latin and Black Laws History Show. And we'll be signing off from the radio side, and then we're going to deal with this brother's question on the Facebook side.
Right.
So
stay on
that,
Facebook.
We say shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.